Hi, everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 76 for May 7th, 2019. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. And over the last few days, about 40 people submitted up to 5 symbols each. And I have put the list of requests together, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. But you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com, and today I have arranged for Marina Bellatoro to join us for the first time, as well as Christian Fromhartz and Michael Filigera to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Michael.
Thank you, David, and thank you for having me in to moderate again for today. Again, I'm Michael Filigera. I'm with Logical Signals, which is my own proprietary website. And again, we are here today to analyze your stocks that you have submitted. And we do have a first-time guest, and that's really kind of very exciting and cool, and it's Marina Bellatoro. And by the way, I love the name of your website, thetraderchick.com, which is very, very, that's very cool, actually. So we'll see what kind of response we might get from that. Christian Fromhartz is also going to be here. He's with Tribeca Trade Group. He's running just a little bit behind, but he will be joining us. Normally, what we normally do is we just do a round robin, but it's just me and you, so makes it easy for right now. And we just introduce ourselves, what you do, and your website, and then anything else you might want to toss in. So I'm going to go ahead and let you begin. Marina.
Hi, thanks so much for the fun intro. I am Marina, the Trader Chick. That is my website. Normally, I focus on futures, ES minis, even though I do love stocks, and I have a really nice portfolio for my long-term investments. So this is actually a really fun challenge for me because this is looking at it at much smaller time frames. I normally look at companies that I like to invest in, like the long-term, kind of always think, what will my kids enjoy when they get the portfolio eventually? So I basically, my whole thing with the Trader Chick is I focus on simplifying day trading entirely. I actually really, really focus on beginner day traders. So it doesn't have to be for futures. It's anyone that is interested in day trading. A lot of times there isn't enough information there to where to begin and just really understanding the basics. And I had that problem when I first began. And so that's what I really love to focus on and help people understand and what to do and even learning the basic lingos. And my main focus really is reading the markets. So I believe that the financial charts have their own language. It doesn't matter which market you trade, futures, equities, forex, crypto, as long as you know what the market is telling you, as in reversals, divergences, things like that. So I'm actually really excited to analyze these trades with you guys and look at the charts through the trades, through the stocks. Usually I do that only with the ES minis because it's so similar. Now that I get to be on the show, it's really, I've been looking at that and I'm like, yeah, you know, it's so similar in the language. So that's kind of what I really enjoy teaching people as well.
Great. Thanks. Thank you very much. We actually have a lot in common because I am also a day trader. I trade the futures, ES, NASDAQ, YM, and crude and gold. But I have long-term positions or core positions, as I call them. I'm not in stocks, though. My core positions are in gold and 30-year bonds. I'm long gold, I'm short bonds, and have been for quite some time. In any case, I'm Michael Filigera. LogicalSignal.com is my website. We remain under construction. You know, life has a tendency to kind of throw us curveballs here and there, and trading has taken up more priority than actually working on the website. So it's kind of difficult to pull the programmers over to say, hey, can you fix this? Can you do that? And they're like, I'm working on your algorithms. And it's like, okay, work on the algorithms that are more important. In any case, it will be back together, and I will be sending out a notice to everyone's on my list that of all the new things that we're going to be doing coming up very shortly. Again, while we wait for Christian, we're going to go ahead and get started. And about midway, I might just take a step back and we'll do a kind of a review and where we might just kind of add what we think is going on in the broader market. So this is going to be an opportunity because you and I both trade those broader market futures. And so it kind of helps to tie it all together to what it might look like. But for right now, we are going to start with Google, number one at the top of the list. So I'm going to let you put your chart up, Marina, and
Okay.
And then go ahead and begin and tell us just what your thoughts on Google right now, where we are, what's going on, and what's happening, or what you think.
So basically, this is, you know, the 1 year chart, but a daily 1 year chart. So it's kind of interesting to see for the year. I'm not going to go anymore. It's been kind of in a weird little channel, right? There's been a lot of pivots here. It's been a triple top continuing, and then again, another triple top. It's kind of playing between these two numbers, which is quite a big difference, right? We're talking almost $300. However, not that much for Google. So at the moment, what I'm noticing is I can't exactly obviously predict when or how it's going to be. However, it's pretty obvious it's going to hit this area at one point again. So at this point, I don't want to say, oh, this is it because there's been a huge gap. Oh, it's going to definitely head down. It's a good time to short it. Definitely not what I'm saying. However, the market, from my experience, loves to revisit areas. Absolutely loves to revisit the areas. And it's definitely going to be revisiting this area around 1,000, between 950 and 1,000. And then from here, I'm not sure what it will be because at this point, it looks like it's just going to stay within this particular channel. That's what my viewpoint is. I'm not a big fundamental person. Even when I was really looking at chart and stocks before futures, I was really into that. And I have to tell you, the amount of drama that goes on behind stocks individually really throws the fundamentals off. I mean, your fundamentals could be stellar and, you know, somebody's having an affair and all of a sudden the stock tanks, which has nothing to do with the actual stock, right? So that's why I really enjoyed the technical part of it. Like, just, I mean, it's so obvious. At some points, you know, like these triple tops, this triple bottoms, I don't have my MACDs on. I usually use a different platform, but I can almost guarantee there was divergence going on here. And then with this gap, so basically, like I said, I can't predict the time frame. It looks like every, 3 to 4 months, it changes direction. So I think it's going to definitely revisit the $1,000 mark. Absolutely. If anything, I would probably be looking to enter at $1,000 to head back up. So that's kind of like 2 cents.
Great. Thank you. For me, I think it's very, very interesting that on the day that Google reported, they hit a new all-time high, and that was at 1289.27. Then they reported, and the stock immediately dropped at least $100 and then continued on down from there. I think it was a significant top on an Elliott Wave basis, and this would be from, and I'm using a daily chart, that off of the late March lows at about 1158, the market staged a beautiful rally, and it put in an additional five ways up, which completes, in my view, a little bit the move that was going up from the December lows at 970.11. So I think on that basis, we can run some Fibonacci's from that high to that low, and we can kind of come up with where we believe we're going to find some support areas. And for example, 1166, 1167, that was a support area. And notice I was just kind of waffling and sitting right a little bit above, a little bit below all that area. And then we start to come off and we have 1128, 1090, 1043, and then 970 all the way there at the bottom. And so I do not disagree with what Marina has already added, and that the market tends to really love to go revisit areas that it has previously spent some time at. And in this case, we're definitely looking right back at that, as Marina said, 950 to 1,000 area. I think that it's going to have some bumps on the way down and have some problems. For example, we have the 200-day moving average, at least on my basis, at 1135-ish. And so the market will likely find some support there. A break below that would definitely suggest that it's going to at least get to that next support level at 1128 and then continue to drop. Now, again, it's a little bit hard because we've got that huge gap down from 1289, that high, to the next day. It's a pretty large gap down on the daily. So I would say, based on that, I don't think the stock really has too much interest, or traders have too much interest at this point in running it back up to fill that gap. Not to say that next week they could change their mind, or even the later end of this week they change their mind and they start making a run to fill the gap. Not an unusual thing to happen, but I think that the fact that we now have the additional weight being placed back on the market bit of tariffs, and the tariffs can really start to interfere with markets and how they operate and what they do. So I think that we're still going to see some downside here in Google. I don't think the market has gotten too badly oversold, you know, on its way down from here. So my screen's not going to act funny. All right. But I think that if we really move ourselves into an oversold condition, then we'll likely bounce a little bit, and then we will start to come back down. And Christian has just kind of jumped in, and he's now with us. Christian, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. So we're just going to take a quick stop right there, because we really just began, Christian. So why don't we just pick it up with you coming in, and you're going to introduce yourself, tell us what you do, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. Yeah, I'm a trader. I run the Tribeca Trade Group, and we run an all-day trading room. We're just kind of finishing up for the day with some of the names reporting earnings. But we trade options, we trade stock, we trade, you know, basically everything. And try to help investors out and traders out, and give them guidance during the day, both swing trading and day trading. Thanks very much, and I'm sorry to be late, guys.
That's quite all right. Can I ask what you're thinking about Google? And then we're totally up to date, and we're ready to move.
Sure. Let me. Bring up Google, and I will share the screen.
Okay.
Always interesting, you know, to go through the charts when we, you know, have had a little bit of volatility. There's a little bit of damage control. Let me just make sure I got the screen shared here. One second. Let's see. Why is this? Here we go. And let me get the right time frame up. All right. You guys can see that, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, well, interesting. Google was only down 1.2% today versus the overall, what, Qs were down more than that, almost 2% on the day. So you could call it, I guess, a small win for Google holders. We are still holding in here since earnings. For me, I would like to see it get back above. You could see I've got some ranges on my charts, but 1183, you know, it looks like most of the damage was done on earnings. It's now been, of course, well after 3 days after earnings. I like Google here. I think it ran up a little bit too much, and therefore the reaction afterwards was a little bit more, to the downside when you run into your earnings report. But, you know, provided that it holds that, to make it simple, provided that it holds the 200-day moving average, I like it. I think it's a good dip buy.
And your 200 days at 1148?
Yes.
Okay. So, I use X-Potential, and mine's at 1134, but we're right in the neighborhood. And when Google moves $15 at a clip, we're all right there. Okay. Next, we're going to move on to Visa. And so the order that we'll use is we'll go Marina, then Christian, then myself. So Marina, you're up again. And Christian, if you change your chart to Visa, then we all can just kind of, we'll talk.
Oh, I'm going to share mine because it's easier for me to focus on it. Okay, so let me just get my Visa chart up here, just get a little bit more perspective. There we go. All right, so Visa, as I'm looking at right here, like I said, I don't really follow the fundamentals whatsoever. What I'm seeing here, though, is a thinner trading, much thinner channel here. Like, this is a really nice support area, which I could see a little bit of a breakout. I call this a FOBO, fake out to breakout, because it's a really nice support area. And then it kind of tried to go down. It didn't want to continue on. And that's kind of when it just took off, right? So I don't have that much more data here from the year before. Hang on a second. I just kind of moved it. Actually, you can see that there's a decent resistance area here. I mean, it did pop up a little bit and then became a resistance area here with the support area, tried to go down. And now I think Visa is just steadily headed up. Right now, it kind of is at a tipping point, I think. Like, it's hit its pinnacle. And it obviously could go two ways, right? But I would not be surprised if at one point here that if anything, I think it's going to hit 150 to go back to that resistance area. And this is where the decision is going to be kind of made if it wants to continue backing up. So basically, what I'm seeing is a really nice run. And we're in the middle of a retracement, I guess. And the retracement will could hit about 150. And that's kind of where, okay, what next, right? To go back up, pop up and continue the trend up, or be stuck in this little indecision area like it's been here. So that's just the way I view it. On a personal note, I would probably be interested in Visa around 150 to kind of bounce up. Visa is a strong company, right? So that's how I view my stocks that I look to enter, but for longer terms. And yeah, I would be looking at around 150.
Okay. Thank you very much. And Christian.
Yes, sir. Visa. So yeah, this is one of my favorite names. We seldom get dips in this name, you know, just like we were looking at the Google chart, and probably you can make this case for most blue chips or technology names. They've really run hard right at this point. So I do like this name. And I think with using the 50-day moving average, scaling into it here, you know, if we happen to get a little bit more volatility in the next couple of days, so be it. So I think, you know, personally, I like this. It's also funny to me how similar Visa, MasterCard, and PayPal. You can almost take your pick with these three names. They look so similar, but I like Visa out of the three a lot as well. And I would be personally scaling in here. And if it happens to get down a little bit further to 156.65, right on that 50-day moving average, I would be a larger buyer there.
Okay, thank you very much. I think Visa as a company is solid. I think the market though is not. And I feel also that off of the December lows at 121, the market has basically put in a nice five-wave structure. This is all a basis of the daily chart, folks, has put in a five-wave structure up to 165.74, which was the recent high. Then the market started to sell off, courtesy of Google and a couple of other things going on. And now we're seeing a little bit more intensity, although Visa is holding up very well when you consider what the broader markets have done today versus, you know, what Visa, again, down one and a quarter percent, which in terms of what the larger moves were, is fairly good. Now, being in line with Visa, MasterCard, and PayPal, as Christian had mentioned, I do agree with that. And if I had to choose one out of the three, it is kind of a tough choice because MasterCard comes out with some good stuff, then Visa comes out, and then PayPal. So they all individually have different advantages to what they do. I would tend to probably stick with Visa myself. I think it's more solid and it's got a larger or a better longer range view. In the little bit of a short term here, I do think the market needs to pull back in addition to what it's already done. I have some Fibonacci support around that 150 area, as Marina mentioned, which is 148, almost 148, 149, and then additional down right below at 143.5, 143.50. And I think that would put in a really solid move. Now, but according to some basic rules and guidelines in Elliott, when you're trying to determine where correction might come in, it's likely going to come in back towards that area that Christian mentioned, and that's around 155. So that would be the first area. And again, just as Christian mentioned, if you like to play Visa and you're looking to play it from the long side, if you have a long position now, you might decide you're going to have to pick a point where you're either going to abandon or you're going to start to protect more aggressively in terms of putting something underneath it to protect against an additional, hate to use the word, but catastrophic decline, something that just everything goes and it's, you're out of luck. And you can put those on here and then they come into play if the stock moves below a certain point. If not, then I think indeed right around that 155 level, we may see it stop. We may see a bounce, but I would then expect an additional leg down, and that'll likely bring it into that 148, 149, all the way down to that 143.5 level. The 200-day moving average on my chart comes in right at 144. And so that's another reason why I think, you know, markets tend to go to a point, as Marina pointed out earlier, and that's kind of one of the areas where they will. They'll just kind of maybe go and test that 200-day moving average, and then we'll see what happens from there. Next up, everybody's perennial favorite, Boeing. Boeing continues to have its troubles. Boeing continues to now have the truth come out, and I don't know if they're really ready for it. So, Marina, we'll begin with you.
Okay, hang on a second. Let me just quickly share my screen. Okay, so I was just able to get my MACDs up. I personally, because I do the futures, I have very few indicators. I really love price action overall, but I do love MACDs because that shows me a lot of where the divergence could happen when the market starts to really lose its power. Yeah, like you said, Boeing has just been, I think overall the whole airline industry has been super problematic, but Boeing especially. I could tell that the market really is kind of stuck between, you know, what is it, 300, around 300? I round about. I know that it could be better, a little bit more specific, but I'm a roundabout person. So it's around 300 to around 380, I would say, maybe even up to like almost 400, that it's been kind of in this area. It really tried to pop up, but now we're totally back in this sideways movement and indecision area. And even here, you could tell with the MACDs, it's, I mean, the power is out, basically. You know, there is no steam going on. I mean, there was quite a lot of steam headed here, and at the moment, it's just flat, completely flat. Personally, I would completely stay away from Boeing at the moment. I wouldn't even come near it. And when I do my own just futures, even though I'm very, very micro scale, like 5-10 minute trades, when I see this kind of movement, this kind of action, and even going between these two points, you know, it's just too much indecision going on. You really don't know what's going to happen. If you really want to be a risk taker and go for Boeing, I would look at a short going down, actually, because again, it's totally hitting this support, this resistance area. Like I said, the FOBO, it tried, it just isn't going anywhere. I personally, yeah, if I was going to, you know, throw some cash at it, I would go short.
Great. So, thank you very much. And Christian.
Yeah, I would agree with everything that you guys are saying. I personally, I hate headline names. I mean, this name is, you know, we're still getting a ton of headlines. Whenever there's whatever, I don't want to call it scandal, but whenever there's something going on with a company like this, I just, you know, unless you're a really long-term investor and you're kind of adding risk to a name, I just tend to shy away. It's just not my forte to start, you know, getting involved in a name that it's got some controversy and, you know, until things die down, right? Like you take, for example, Johnson & Johnson, which was in the news, you know, a couple months ago. Now I'm looking at Johnson & Johnson now that you don't hear every day about talc and so forth. Right. I think actually you still hear about it a little bit, but yeah. And I mean, this looks like I start with the weekly chart because it had a pretty nasty day today. But so of course this is a developing weekly bar, but if it does not close above 362, that's a sell signal for Boeing. So I would not want to be long. So if you're in this name, you know, that would be something to watch at the end of the week. But I would think that would be a pretty good stop price. Again, this is the valuary for the whole year. So notice on the first time that it sold off, it held this very nice and bounced and then has been kind of digesting. But this is the first time that it's actually broke back inside value since where it was in January. So I don't like that either.
Do you have it showing that it did break below the 200-day today?
Yeah, let me just switch to the, that was the weekly. Let me switch to the daily. Yeah, I agree. And I'm wondering if you're using exponential. I have simple on mine, but yeah, that's a clear break of the 200-day moving average, which is also a no-no.
Yeah. And I think that that's probably the point where it began to accelerate lower, breaks that 200-day and just kept on going, which is like you've just said, it is not a good sign. I agree with what both of you have already said. And I will just add that there are some very real problems going on at Boeing. First, the more news that we get about the Boeing jetliner, the 900, the 737-900, that we're getting more news about that Boeing knew about these, that Boeing didn't do this, that Boeing didn't do that. Now, whether that's just searching for the dirt or these are important things that need to be put out there so that the public can understand before they get on a plane, hey, look at what didn't get said or did get said, all in the name of money. And so I think Boeing initially got punished for what went on with that 737-900 and the fact that we saw it drop down. Like we both, all three of us now mentioning, they did try to rally it back. And we noticed that it rallied strongly if any news came out with the fixes in place. So there's this, the Boeing 737 fix, it's all in place, we're all good, which was not the truth. And then so we saw what happened after that. Boom, 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 now we're back down. And again, we're gonna continue to head lower because I think as the total picture is revealed and we realize realize how many airlines are now going to cancel. So what is, how is that going to affect sales? That's going to come to play further out rather than on the day of the news. So, and again, technically with the break of the 200-day moving average today and a continued slide and a close below, does not really look favorable for Boeing. And unfortunately, I don't really see a whole lot of support under these levels. I can run one set of fibs to see if I can't get that kind of coming. Come on now. Nope, not going to do it for me. But I would think that that's 200, there's 100. Yeah. It should find some support around 345 to 350, 345 to 350. And if it starts to break down below that, I think, you know, we're looking at 320 down to 300. And that's not all going to come in 3 days, although I may have to eat my words depending on what the market decides. I mean, if they pull the carpet out on this market, then look out below, and a lot of people are going to be in trouble. But we've had some support levels that should help to calm the slide. But then again, I don't know. It just does not look that good. It's now beginning to get a little bit oversold, which could portend that we get a little bit of a bounce, but now we got resistance at that 200-day. So this is not a nice picture. And I, again, if you're already in the stock, if you're long the stock, you should have had protection in way before today or way before this week. And so I'm not sure. You've got to have your stops in. You've got to have a point where it's like, that's it. I will not hold it any longer, or be able to really move around with puts to try to just protect some of where you have or what you have. Next up is Bristol Myers, BMY. And again, at least we get a little bit of a taste of some of the pharmaceuticals. And Marina, I'm going to start with you.
Okay, hang on, let me just share my screen.
There you go.
Okay, so I just opened up Bristol Myers. Okay, so obviously Bristol Myers is a pretty popular pharmaceutical company. I don't really fully know much about what their research is. At the moment, I do very, very much believe in medical research. Every time I go in for a procedure, I am grateful to the medical research gods. So if I do want to trade with pharmaceuticals, I obviously will be looking a lot at their charts. So what I'm looking at right here, and again, minus the fundamentals, but with pharmaceuticals, I would really look very deeply into what they're focused on for their research at the time that you want to get in and where they're headed, right? So what I'm seeing just from price action is that they rallied really well up, and then they had a massive retracement. And then they've kind of been stuck between these two areas. Personally, by the looks of it, and also with the MACDs, they haven't even crossed the zero line, right? So it's still pretty weak movement. However, I am seeing this double bottom, and I love my double bottoms or my triple tops, whatever you could see normally when they happen, there are some movements. I would really look into this resistance support area, especially for shorter term traders. I would definitely be in just from the charts around here and be out like around 53. Yeah. A couple of bucks, I guess you guys call it, I don't know. In futures, we call it points. I would be out after a couple of points. But this looks like a pretty solid indecision time of a decent move to here. Yeah. So again, for longer term, I would really look into the research, but for the shorter term, I think this is a beautiful entry time. Yeah, I like this strong resistance, and it's looking like a support system. It's pretty solid here too.
Great, thank you.
So that's about it.
Thank you, Christian.
So Bristol Myers, they just had earnings. So it looks like they did have a positive earnings reaction there from what I guess a couple of weeks ago. I still think this name is in a downtrend. I'm very much a trend trader. So for names below the 200-day moving average, I don't like how it got up to the 50-day moving average and kind of stopped there as well. I will say, if I just shoot back to the weekly chart here for a second, I would need this for me to try a long. I would need this to get back above 49.37. That again would be the yearly value area for 2019. So 49.37 is where I would get interested in the name. But these names that are below the 200-day moving average, for me, they kind of have to do a little bit more before I can get involved. And then and this one as well, it just seems like it's been doing this for a while. So I think definitely something to keep an eye on. Showing that maybe a double bottom working here. to, but a little bit too early for me to make that decision at this point.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm kind of stuck right in the middle, sort of like Bristol Myers is at the moment. I also heavily favor pharmaceuticals for the reason that Marina mentioned, and that is that there's so much excellent work going on within the biopharmaceutical industries. In particular, I live in the center of San Francisco, and for those of you who know or don't know, many of the biotech pharmaceutical companies have set up shop out here because of a lot of the research that's being done in one area just south of downtown San Francisco. And part of what they're really working on, and I don't know if Bristol-Myers, but I believe Bristol-Myers in it, J&J's in it, Pfizer's in it, all of the big boys are there and they've got their hand in that piece of the pie, and that's immune therapies. Immune therapies are a very exciting area within this sector, and I can't imagine that the bigger players, again, Bristol-Myers, Gilead, and Johnson & Johnson, and Pfizer, and Merck, and that they're not there already and that they are doing intensive research. Now, these immune therapies are they're coming back with some very positive results in terms of being able to take out somebody's DNA, adjust it just a little bit here, a little bit there, lack of a better description. Then they re-enter that, you know, they put it back into your body and it triggers your immune system to actually kill cancer and kill other diseases that are life-threatening. This is an exceptionally exciting thing that I can't imagine any company that's in this industry, in this sector, would not want to have a part of. Now, having said that, I also think that Bristol Myers has got a little bit more to correct. And that kind of starts to look like it might just end up giving another test of the 44.50 down to 44 area. So it's another 2 or 3% from here, and very, very possible. And then I think that the market, at least on a daily basis, would be pretty oversold and would then be due for a bounce. And it should be a stronger bounce. Now, again, being that Bristol Myers sits in all of the indexes, except NASDAQ, of course, but sits in the major S&P, and I believe they're in the Dow, but at least the S&P, will participate in any of those broader market sell-offs or buy-ups. So we have to keep that in mind. If you are in a position in this particular stock, depending on what your entry level was or what your long-term scenario is on this, you might want to protect. And again, it's just as we've heard from so many, you can use puts, you can sell a call. There's a lot of different things that you can do. Particularly when volatility is high, you're probably going to want to start to look at puts right now because of the action that's been happening in the market. The VIX was up pretty strongly actually today, and for good reason, but it was up above 18 at one point and then closed just down below it. I don't have a lot of really high hopes for Bristol Myers right now. I think that it continues to pull back and then puts in a fairly decent rally. And let's move right along to letter Z, Zillow. Interesting company, and a lot of hope in this one. There's a lot of hope in this group. And so, Marina.
Okay, so hang on a moment. Let me just share my screen really fast. Okay, so I'll be honest with you. I never heard of Zillow before, so I'm going to just do really, really fast. But to me, it just looks like a flat line at the moment. It sounds like a really interesting group, so I don't know. But at the moment, it doesn't look like much is happening, that they're kind of just waiting things out, and definitely the traders as well, to see if there's going to be some massive action happening. So at the moment, I'm looking at a pretty big flat line. To me, this is barely a trend. It looks like it's just stuck right here between here and here. So I'm going to not say much more about this company. I don't really know anything of what they do.
Fair enough. Christian.
Yes, and I like to, I've got nicknames for certain charts or for certain names, and I think this one is a struggler. It is, you know, been having some problems. If you looked at, you know, I was just flipping back between the weekly and daily chart, but this 200-day moving average kind of looks like an umbrella, and it really has captured all the price action. I mean, here was a good point right up here. Took out what's called this virgin point of control, but it stopped right at the 200-day moving average. There was another one taken out here where it's trying to bounce, but I would kind of let the price action gravitate up a little bit before, mm-hmm. you know, let it kind of get out of a downtrend. On the weekly chart, you know, because I do think if you're in this name, you're probably in it for the longer term rather than a scalp, because I think it's kind of a difficult name. 37 would be a level that I would care about, you know, just from a very technical aspect. But you could see the same thing here. You could see that purple line, which is the 50-day simple moving average, just acting like an umbrella here. It also could not get above this level here. So I would avoid this name. If you have to own, you know, if you are owning it or really want to get involved in it, I would say above 37, and then you could use that as your stop.
Okay. Taking a look at where this has gone to and where it has come from, I'm going to agree that I think that this particular company has continued downside. It's not quite oversold. It's getting there, and I'm looking at a weekly. It's definitely getting there on a weekly. And if I take a look at the daily, it's probably even telling me more than it already is. No, actually, the daily kind of did a pop the last 3 days, and so it could turn again and continue to drop. Now, I don't believe that we've got a whole lot of downside left in this stock, although you have to allow for something below 26 if something really got serious, if something seriously got going with it. I find that the 200-day, at least on the daily chart, is sitting at 39. And so as Christian was mentioning, that he doesn't really get too much interest in it until we get back above 37, 38. And I would agree with that. I think there's a very strong probability or possibility that the stock could get just above 36. And if it does that, I think that that's kind of a top, at least a very near-term top. And we continue to put at least one more leg down in before all is said and done. We're going to move along because we got another all favorite. A lot of times, in fact, most of the times that I do this show, Advanced Micro Devices is right there. And it's in the mix. And here we are again with Advanced Micro Devices, a very interesting company that has withstood the test of time, particularly in the sector that it sits, and that's technology, and tends to work real hard on reinventing itself. And Marina, I'm going to start with you.
Okay. Well, the technology, I think, industry has been kind of going up and down, which is kind of obvious here. Again, I don't really know that much about this particular company. However, just from like this kind of, I look at the yearly day chart for me, which I'm really starting to enjoy. And I'm actually starting to really look into some of these stocks that we're talking about for my own portfolio, maybe a little bit shorter term. I'm actually really liking these areas that they're indecisiveness about. And also the MACDs are showing me they're showing a decent amount of strength going down. So again, just from a purely technical point of view, I think it's going to be playing between the support area and this resistance area. However, I don't know much about this company and what they're in the process of doing or stuff like that. So that's pretty much as far as I can go, as far as my technicals, the fundamentals and the rest I can't offer.
Right. Okay. We get all of us technical traders coming in and somebody says, what about the fundamentals? It's like the market really doesn't pay attention to them all that much anymore. Christian.
Yes. AMD. So, you know, kind of interesting today, right? Everything's down today. I always like to see what a company does versus the sector. So AMD was down right around 2.8%. Mm-hmm. Not too much different than what the whole semiconductor group did, which was down about 2.3%. Mm-hmm. You know, these semiconductors are going to be the names that are getting beaten up a little bit with the trade drama going on right now. That and industrials are the two big groups that are going to suffer a bit. But I think AMD, I do like AMD for the long term. It is in an uptrend. It had earnings that were okay. You can kind of see a big red bar after that day, but it's holding the 50-day moving average. So I like easy, simple setups. I would actually prefer this get a little bit away from the 50-day moving average. You can see I've got, again, what's known as a value area. I would like to see this thing get above 27.22 for a little bit of confirmation. But there, I would be going long versus the 50-day moving average. And I think that's an easy way to, like I said, I like simple setups. I like the company. I think they're, you know, a decent name in the semiconductor space with my little fundamental view. But I think bottom line, it's holding that 50-day moving average, which is telling us something here in a group that's particularly weak today.
True. And very well said on holding that 50-day. And many, and I think the underlying point that Christian is also making that I think people really need to take a hold of, we're not the only ones that look at a 50-day moving average or a 200-day moving average. And trade decisions are made on if it holds it or if it breaks it. So these are important points in the trading of most of the major stocks, if not all of them. AMD is one of my perennial favorites. I go way back with Advanced Market Devices because I was an options market maker here on the Pacific, and I was in the AMD crowd, which was huge and always raucous and always crazy. So there's always been a lot of interest in the stock because it's a big option stock, and it's gone from zero to the moon and back and several times. I think currently now, just looking at a daily chart, Christian hit the nail on the head in that if these tariffs, if this trade war really gets stirred up and the pot gets stirred really hard, the tech stocks are going to get hit, and particularly the semiconductors, as Christian mentioned, because most of them are made overseas. So if we're going to have tariffs on bringing them back in here, or tariffs on, you know, however that situation works itself out or doesn't work itself out, it's going to have an effect on semiconductors and a lot of other tech companies. So with having said that, I do also agree with what Christian said, in that it fell in line basically with the sector today. And I think that that is in the plus column for AMD. AMD tends to sour in the market's mind very quickly and get hit really hard sometimes. And so the fact that it's now holding that 50, I like the fact that it is held within what the sector was down in and of itself, I like. And so I think that if you're looking to get in the stock, those are going to be your points. You're going to have to take a look at the sector, and you're going to have to see how that is moving, because it should then play pretty much in line with that sector. Or you're going to also put in line as to whether it breaks that 50-day moving average and then maybe heads down to the 200, which in my world, you've got it sitting at 2340 or right in that area, I think, Christian. And I've got it sitting at 22 and a half. But I'm using an exponential and you're using a simple. So, you know, oranges and apples, but basically in the same area. I think that the stock does come down and breaks that 50-day moving average, yet to be seen. But if it does, I think it's a very quick trip down to at least 24, if not a little bit lower. Then I believe the stock is pretty much oversold, would be very oversold in my book, and ripe for a rally. Let's do one more, and then, yeah, but we can at least get one more down, and then I'm going to just do a quick round robin of a few other things. We're going to take a look at USO. USO is an ETF, it's a United States oil fund, and I really would like to take a look at this because of all the hype, of all the noise, of everything that's been going on in crude on a global basis. And Marina, I don't know if you actually trade crude, because I heard you mention the S&P, but if you trade crude, boy, this would be a fun one for us to take a look at. So we're going to begin with you.
Okay, so I don't trade crude because it's just too risky for me, and I just think it's too much uncertainty on so many levels. With oil in general, I bought oil as part of my portfolio, and I have to say it's been the worst part of my portfolio for several years at this point. So I try to stay away from it completely. And you could kind of see that there seems to be quite a little bit of a dip here, and now it's trying to make its way back up. I mean, it's been a support area that is now, I think it's turning into a resistance area. I think it's going to go back into this type of a movement of indecision. Oil in general, I think there's too much indecision, too many ups and downs is something that I like to stay out of altogether. Okay. So this would not be something that I would look into.
Okay. Christian.
Yes, sir. And I'm very cool to hear about your background. I didn't know you were a trader on the Pecos, right?
Yes.
Very cool.
Thank you.
USO, sorry. So oil, oil also holding in there on the 50-day moving average. It's kind of disappointing to see this break down a little bit. I don't know if that's an indicator for the overall market. I mean, you know, crude has been in in such a nice uptrend and has started to break down those inventory reports that are that have been coming out. I think the API report just came out after the close, which showed another build, but there was a huge build in inventories. So, you know, I know I'm not an oil expert. I know there's sometimes people look at it as a that it's a demand issue. There's also a supply issue, but man, there was a huge build in the Department of Energy numbers last week for the number of barrels that were in surplus. So I think this has to hold the 50-day moving average. I'm, you know, kind of disappointed just looking at this to see that it's lost the uptrend. And again, I don't know if that's an indication for overall markets. There's not that much of a correlation between oil and equities, but they were kind of following one another for a while. So we'll see if it holds. You got also my friend, the 200-day moving average, that's also right in there between, I got the bottom of value, 50-day moving average, 200-day moving average. So if it breaks these, I would say that's a pretty nasty signal.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could also bounce here. I think you just have to wait and see and wait to see either we're going to bounce here. And my crystal ball is foggy right now, but I would say watch for this thing to see if it could bounce or if it's going to go ahead and break all these moving averages, which would not be a good sign.
Right. I think another thing to actually toss in is that USO itself is like, it's not based on crude oil. It's not based on a particular group of contracts or a basket of, it's a basket of oil companies. So, and they, of course, there's so many different products that kind of come out of a barrel of oil, but it does move in tandem, not tick for tick, but in tandem with the underlying, and that being crude oil. And
yeah, you have that decay, right, on the futures.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think what we're really looking at here is, again, I don't see how, if there's any downturn in the economy, if there's any downturn in just the view of the overall markets, the oil companies are not going to escape the slaughter if that's what's going to end up happening. Now, what does that say specifically for these individual companies in this ETF is yet to be seen. I think on a technical basis, what Christian has brought to our attention, that you got a 50-day and a 200-day honing in on each other. They're just almost kissing right there. And that's vital. That's very, very important because it's flirting with the 50-day, going down and touching the 200, coming back up and giving a kiss to the 50. So it's going to have to make up its mind. And I believe that that's what the battle is going on right now. And that is going to determine not only near-term, but probably mid-term direction for USO. And if you're really doing a constructive research on this particular ETF, take a look at the component companies and then see what their positions are within the market, within their charts. And then that might help you just to kind of build what your probabilities of this thing breaking up or down are going to be. Now, personally, I think that because it's tied to crude oil has gone from 58 up to 67, I think it was. And now it's come back down. It was trading below 61 today, and it was trading almost... Well, it didn't get quite down to the 60 level, but I thought I was going to head there. Now, those are dollar moves. That's a $6 move from up the $6 or $7 move from the high of our most recent high. And again, based on the fact that there was, you know, an insufficient supply, and so to meet demand. Now, I live in California. I can't speak for the other two. And I live in San Francisco, where they think we just all have expendable, you know, lots and lots of money to spend. And gas has gone from $3.50 to $4.50 in about 3 weeks. And it's still climbing. I mean, it's kind of leveled a little bit, but it's still climbing. So we've got that factor in where the California refineries go from their winter blend to their summer blend. So this is just a normal, what I call a ripoff period for us citizens of this part of the country, because it's what they do. And they just do it because, well, we're going to have a shortage. It's like, really? I don't see a shortage anywhere. There's plenty of supply, you know, but they do it anyway. Getting back to USO, I think that, again, I'm going to be watching that 50 and that 200. A break below the 200 is not going to be pretty, because it has to break below and keep going, folks. It can't just go break below a little bit, but it has to close below it and then continue. But in my chart, it sits at 1251. Kind of comes right into what Christian was showing us. And so therefore, I think that we could get into a real tangle here. And that was on the crude chart that he showed. So you still want to keep an eye on that, folks, because it's going to be very important to what the overall outlook for this particular ETF is going to be. I don't really see, unless David, unless you've got one that you really think that we should toss in here right now before we do our closing statements. So
I think we're good. We covered a lot of good information.
I tried to kind of throw in a good mix. So you set it up really well. So thank you for that. Okay, so now we're just going to go back around and just to, again, let us know who you are, where you are, what you're doing, and then how people can get a hold of you if they have a question or they want more information. And we'll start with Marina.
Okay, well, thank you so much for having me. This was actually really fun. Kind of brought me back to the stock days. I actually live in Guatemala. So our prices for gas are always high. Doesn't matter if it's low or high where you guys live. it's just always high, which is a very strange thing for such a poor country. Anyways, I day trade here in Guatemala. I am the Trader Chick, and you can find me at thetraderchick.com. Everything is right there. I mainly trade futures, but as you can see, I pretty much look at charts because I enjoy just reading them and the technical part of it, kind of taking the drama out of it. So I look forward to hearing from you guys. Thank you again.
Thank you. And Christian.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, you know, these days, they're great. You know, depending on what product you trade, if you trade futures, equities, options, these are great days to learn when we have a little bit of volatility, right? Mm-hmm. I know it's, you know, if you're bullish, everybody's doing great when the market's grinding higher and moving higher. But really, this is where you get some experience on days like this. So, you know, we have generally, a pretty good, I don't want to say a great time. I mean, it's always, there's a lot of things that we do in the trading room to kind of look. But so it's one of my specialties when we have a little bit of an uptick in volatility, kind of where to add risk. If it, you know, usually these are multi-day processes, but it's what we do at Tribeca Trade Group. So you can find me right there, TribecaTradeGroup.com. And, like I said, we run an all-day trade room and we have a great community of traders where we're all trying to help each other and make money. So that's it. Thank you guys for having me on. And again, sorry for being a little bit late in the beginning of the webinar.
No problem, because you ended up contributing to everything that we did today. So thank you very much. First of all, Marina, I'm a little bit envious because you're in Guatemala and I'm still stuck in the States and you live in a nice warm area of the world. But that being said, if people would like to get in touch with me, please, michael@logicalsignals.com. It will come directly to me. I love questions. I love conversations. So please feel free to give me an email or send me an email and I will respond back to you. Again, I'm going to agree with what Christian said. That's like, I think it gets very exciting in the market when we can get volatility going. And for those that have actually listened to this particular show, but also to the Crowd Forecast show, I guess it was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, Jim Kenny and I did the show and we were discussing just what we felt about. And Jim was kind of talking about the fact that the market could start to, you know, move lower, which in fact it did do. And so we began to really discuss on different possibilities of what you might want to put on. And one of the things that I talked about was using VIX options, the volatility options. And so I had put on a really nice spread, which now has come to full fruition. And I actually had to take it off today for full value. And it was really nice because it was really based on the market popping above 15 or VIX popping up above 15, which it did do. So I'm going to continue to look at the VIX. I think that we need to continue to keep our eye on that index because it really is a measurement. You're going to hear a lot of people talk about and say it's the fear index. And that part is true because if that thing really starts to go high, that's going to show you that people are afraid that, or traders are afraid that the markets are really going to begin to tank and go down. And they're willing to pay exorbitant prices, usually for puts, or just to cover what they need at that particular moment. Again, this has been great fun. I really enjoyed having both Marina and Christian on with me today and being able to go over these things. And I hope everybody really got some useful information. And David, I'm turning it back over to you. And thank you for allowing me to moderate once again.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Lots of great information this week. So thank you for being here and for that. Please be sure to, just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to this or any of the past show archives. And be sure to join us for both shows next week, Crowd Forecast News, Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and the next episode of the show on Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Some of the people I have on the schedule for next week are Fausto Puglisi, Bennett McDowell, Jake Bernstein, and Jim Kenny. So should be some good shows next week as well. And just want to thank my guests again for this week. Marina Villatoro of thetraderchick.com. Thank you for being here for the first time. And Christian Fromhertz of TribecaTradeGroup.com and Michael Filigera of LogicalSignals.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks.